I do appreciate the good music we have here at Worth Baptist Church. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 27. We use the expression, seeing is believing, but that's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. Believing is seeing. Not seeing is believing. And David realized that. And we've been talking about strongholds, and the only way you're going to overcome a stronghold in your life, and we've covered a lot of them, and some the Spirit of God has pricked your heart about that I didn't even say anything about. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, speaks to hearts. But whatever those strongholds may be in your life, you can have victory by faith. It is not seeing is believing, it is believing is seeing. And that's what David reminds us of. Psalm 27, beginning with verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. I want you to see as we read through the rest of these verses how he starts out in victory, and then it's a little different. He sort of falls down with defeat and then comes back to victory. Verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he hath hid me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I see. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain paths, because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now let's just analyze this a little bit and make the application to strongholds. We're looking at David's faith in verse 1. You see the word that he talks about, God being the light of his life. And back in those days, you got to remember when he's talking, they didn't have electricity and all that stuff like we have. They didn't have lights readily available. The best they might have would be a candlelight. And he was saying, God is my light. God is the one who is going to direct my life. And that's what God wants to do with my life and your life, is to be the light of our life, to direct our life. We don't need anybody else directing our life. We need God. We need Christ directing our life. And he believed that God would be the light that would direct his pathway, and he knew he needed that. He calls him his salvation. You see, the greatest deliverance we have is a spiritual deliverance. The greatest deliverance we have is not a temporal deliverance. As a pastor over these years, I've had a lot of people come to me wanting money, wanting groceries, wanting food and clothing and that type thing. And I can understand some of that, but I've had very few that have come to my office saying, I want to be saved. I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, the greatest salvation, the greatest thing for us, the greatest deliverance is being born again, kept out of hell, made ready to go to heaven with our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Never never to be removed. One of these days, if you live long enough and I live long enough, you'll pick up the obituary column and you'll read that. Might even have my picture in it. It'll say, Willie Weaver died. That'll be a lie. I will be in heaven. I will be more alive the moment I draw my last breath and leave this body than I am in this body, because I'll be free from this old tabernacle of sin. I will have been delivered completely by the grace of God, taken into the presence of God. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. David had faith, and he knew that God was his light and his salvation. Also, look at David's desire. He said, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. You see that down there in those verses. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, what was the house of the Lord back in that day? What was the house of the Lord? The temple hadn't been built yet. What was the house of the Lord? The house of the Lord was an old tent that had been following them around a long time, maybe patched up. And we would refer to it as the tabernacle. But he said, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. Not because it is ornamental, not because of the beauty of it, not because of all of that. He wanted to do it because God was present there. If you're going to look for a church, people look for churches for different reasons. Some look for the clean nursery. Some look for a good youth program. And some want to know if it's contemporary with the youth and all of that. Some look for the music, and they're looking for a certain kind of music. Some are looking for a certain style of preaching and a preacher. But here's a question we ought to ask ourselves. Is God present in that church? Is God doing anything in that church? And then we ought to praise God for it. That's what he was doing up front here. He talks about sacrifices of joy. Sacrifices of joy. What are sacrifices of joy? A lot of times when we think of sacrifice, what do we think of first? We think of this thing right here. By the way, I got a better one than I had the black and white one. My wife threatened to divorce me, so I decided I better get it. It's a lot cheaper than alimony. But anyway, all that stuff. But a lot of times when we think of a sacrifice, we're thinking of money, first of all. Hebrews 13:15 says this, the sacrifice of praise. Hey, that's a good sacrifice to give to God. We ought to tell others what he has done. We ought to look for a church where God is active and present and blessing. And when we're blessed, we ought to get out there and tell others what God has done for us. We need to open our mouths. We live in a society where Christians have gotten nervous and afraid to speak up. We better start speaking up again. If we don't, we're going to just get more of what we've got. We need to stand up for what is right. Look at David's fear in verse 7. He's talking about his fear here. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. He's crying out unto the Lord. Now let me say to you that evidently, momentarily here, he had lost a little bit of his confidence. Perhaps you could argue that point, but I think he did lose a little bit of his confidence. And he's going through something right here where he'd lost that, and he's letting his feelings take control. Let me tell you something, Christian. Don't ever rely on your feelings. If you rely on your feelings, you are in trouble right now. Don't rely on your feelings. We have to rely on God and God's Word. We better rely on His promises. If you don't rely on the promises of God, you're going to be miserable, you're going to be defeated, you're going to be down, you're going to be discouraged, you're going to be depressed. So David cries out unto God, and then look at his communion with God in verse 8. In verse 8, when thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. David said, God, I will seek your face. And we pray, and the results sometimes don't come like we think they ought to come. But we've got to keep on praying. We've got to keep on doing what God wants us to do. We go through all of the emotions and all of the motions sometimes. But what we've got to do is learn to have communion with God. And what are we supposed to do? Well, we have to have some concern. Look at verse 9. He says, "Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." He said, God, their enemies out there want to kill me. And listen, he had real enemies. These were not make-believe enemies. These were people who literally wanted to kill him. And when you let your problems overrule in your life, and you don't let faith act like faith ought to act, then you're going to be defeated. The only way you can overrule your problems is through faith. You've got to have faith and exercise that faith. And if your problems overrule you, you're in trouble. Don't do that. Don't let your troubles overrule your life. Have faith in God. And so he was concerned about all of that. Now, look at David's solution. His solution was to talk to God. He wanted to pray. Talk to God. You're having strongholds. You're having problems. The devil is getting the upper hand in your life. And that happens to Christians. What are you going to do? Pray to God. Talk to God about your problems. A lot of times when I've seen it, when people have problems, they quit praying, they quit reading their Bible, and they quit going to church. Those are three of the most terrible things you can do when you have problems and you don't understand what's going on. You need to pray more. You need to read your Bible more and stay in church more, if anything, if that's possible, if you're not in church like you should be. Talk to God and don't do these other things. In verse 13, look what he did. He believed first by faith before the results came. He believed first. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, I would have fainted, but I believed. I would have gone down, but I believed. And the belief comes, the faith comes before the solution and the results of the problem. The Bible says faith is evidence of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. And we, things that are not seen. And it is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is that thing that gives us that evidence if we believe what God has said and act on the Word of God. And so believing to see, we need to believe to see. And that will work in, number one, surrender. Believing to see what God is going to do, that's why we need to surrender our lives to Him. Go to Romans chapter 12, if you will. Familiar verses, let's look at them again. We'll run it through again like the little boy running the milk through the cow again after he'd kicked the bucket trying to strain it. We'll run it through again. But look at what he says in Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Boy, he said a lot of things when he said that. What he was saying was believe God first, and then you won't have any problem surrendering your life. Here's what he is saying. God wants, listen now, God wants total control of your life. God doesn't want part of your life, or 75% of your life, or 85, or 95, or 99 and 9 tenths. God wants total control of your life. That's what he's talking about. And when we surrender, we do not set any conditions on our surrender. When we surrender to God, we don't say, God, I will if you do so and so. You see, a sacrifice does not choose the altar that it's offered on. Let me say that again. A sacrifice does not choose the altar that it is offered on. It's God. We give Him our bodies a living sacrifice, and then we wholly give ourselves to Him, and He'll do what He wants to do, whatever He'd like to do. One young man, college-age student, wrote down on a piece of paper, the things that he would do for God if God would let him do it. He listed number one this, number two, number three, where he'd go, where he wouldn't go, and all of that. And he went down to the altar, took the paper, put it down there, but he had no peace at the altar. He came back and he said, well, maybe I need to write some more things down. Where will I go? Am I willing to go here, do this, do that? And he wrote some more things down, went back to the altar, put it on the altar, prayed, and had no peace. So finally he went to his wise old pastor and began to talk to him, and he said, what should I do? He said, here's what you need to do. You need to take a blank piece of paper, sign it, lay it at the altar, and then you'll get peace. He took it down, laid it down, said, God, here's my blank piece of paper. I sign it with my whole life. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I will do it. I will go. Nothing held back whatsoever. By the way, it's our reasonable service, isn't it? To totally yield and be submissive to God and to have victory over our strongholds is our reasonable service. Why? The cross. The cross. The hymn writer, Isaac Watts, wrote these words. By the way, Charles Wesley said he would have given up all the songs that he had written if he could have just written this one song. But Isaac Watts wrote this song, and you know it, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. But one of those verses says this, were the whole realm of glory mine, that would be a present far too small. Anybody believe that tonight? Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Look at the cross. It demands my soul, my life, my all. How can we look at the cross and be lukewarm, Laodicean Christians? There's absolutely no reason for it, no excuse for it whatsoever. Believing to see is also true in service, not only in surrender, but in service. In Psalm 126, let me look there very quickly. Two verses, you're familiar with them. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. How many of you really believe that? Say amen. Amen. I know you do because it's in the Word of God. Verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth. You got to go. You got to have a broken heart. Bearing precious seed shall doubtless. In other words, no doubt about it. Clarence Sexton always says, no doubt about it. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. These are promises of Almighty God. Promises of God in service. You see, if we're willing to serve him, we've got to believe what he says. If you'll go with a broken heart, if you're a Sunday school teacher and you'll go out and knock on some doors and visit and do what you're supposed to do as a Sunday school teacher and try to get new people saved and get them in your class, you go with a broken heart, you really go for the Lord, the Bible promises you won't come back void and empty. You're going to come back bringing your sheaves and rejoicing. That is a promise of the Word of God. Adoniram Judson, back in 1812, went over with a group of people to India on a ship. And as he was going over, he was studying and reading the Word of God. He was of the congregational faith. And he had been baptized as an infant. Well, as he read the Word of God, by the way, the Bible ruins a lot of theology. And he read the Word of God and saw that you had to be saved first and then baptized by immersion, scripturally. And he decided that he would do that. And that made him a guess what? Baptist. Amen? We're right on that. Baptist. And so, as he was going to India, he found out because of some turmoil going on, they didn't want him there. And he was not able to stay there. He went to Burma, and he had to learn the Burmese language. By the way, he had graduated valedictorian from his college. He already knew four languages, already. But that's where God put him, and he had to learn the Burmese language, which was very difficult. He spent 3 years learning the Burmese language. And then 7 years went by after he learned the language before he had one person that got saved and was baptized. 7 years. Most of us wouldn't support a missionary after that. We'd say, what have you done in the first year, the second year, the third year? And if it doesn't, you know. But here he is there, and he, during his life, he lost 6 children that died. 2 of his wives died. And he was put in jail. And then, of course, he had poor health, had a lot of depression that went along with some of those things. And then he died. You say, what a wasted life. No. When he died, there were 100 churches that had been established because he was there. And they had counted already in that period of time over 8,000 people that had come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ that they could account for, that they could count during that time, over 8,000 converts. And even now, today, even though Christianity is not popular there, one of the largest Christian populations in Asia is in Burma, according to those who study that and seem to know. You see, why did it happen? He never stopped believing that it could happen. He never stopped believing that it could happen. And then believing to see stewardship. Believing to see stewardship. Believing and seeing. We have to believe what God says. Now, you're the Sunday night crowd. You're the cream of the crop. And the Wednesday night crowd's a whipped cream with a cherry on it and chocolate. But you're the cream of the crop. You're here. Most of you probably don't have any problem with this, but some of you, I rather suspect, still do. Elijah went to this widow lady, and she said, we got a little oil, a little cruise, got just a little meal. That's all we got. That's it. And this horrible, terrible, awful, dogmatic, mean-spirited Baptist preacher said, fix me something to eat. That's just like a Baptist preacher. Don't say amen too loud. Most of you hadn't had me in your home to eat a meal. Some of you have, but anyway. But you've helped with gift cards. That always helps. Praise the Lord for gift cards. But let me tell you what happened. When she got through, she went ahead and did, because she said, well, that's a man of God. And the man of God's going to tell me the truth. And he's basing it on the Word of God. And she did what God led her to do and what the man of God said do. Let me ask you something. Did she do well?
Yes.
Absolutely. She never had to worry about oil. She never had to worry about meal anymore. She never had to worry about what she was going to eat. And her boy, they were going to just die. She did the right thing, because believing to see is what she was doing in her stewardship. What we need to do is not fit our giving around our budget, but we need to fit our budget around our giving. We need to believe and step out by faith, and God bless that. There was a young lady by the name of Heather Whitestone. Heather Whitestone lost her hearing when she was 18 months of age. And her mother kept telling her, you can be anything you want to be. You can do anything you'd like to do. And she sent her to a school for the deaf, and she got proper training. In 1995, some of you will recall that this lady became Miss America, won the Miss America pageant.
Yes.
Now, I wouldn't endorse the Miss America pageant personally. I wouldn't do that. I think there's some problems with some of those things, but the point that I want you to see, and she wrote in her biography, Yes, You Can, Heather, that you can do those things. And it's not just the power of positive thinking. Let's translate that into the life of a Christian. Now go back to the idea of all these strongholds we've been talking about and the importance of faith. How did David overcome? He believed, and all of these things came about because of his belief and because of his faith. And these strongholds are things that we can overcome in our life if we will believe God and trust God and not give up and keep on. Since I've started preaching these messages, some of you came to the altar, and then since that time, the devil has hit you right square in the spiritual nose. And you say, man, I just can't do it. I tried, preacher, I tried it. Yes, you can do it. Yes, you can get the victory. And you can do it. You can be strong and powerful. What do you have to do? Believe God's promises. You see, we need the victory, and we have the victory in our hearts and in our lives before we receive it, if we believe it. We can overcome that stronghold. We can have power over it. We can cast down any stronghold that may be in our life tonight. Believe it. And belief and faith and practicing it, that's it. What we need to do is bring our thoughts in obedience to the Word of God. Number one, bring our thoughts in obedience to the Word of God. Arrest every thought, bring every thought into captivity. That's what the Bible says. And then after that, you can live in freedom. You can overcome. You can win over any stronghold that Satan is trying to get in your life. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed. My dear friend, I don't know what you struggle with. I know some things that are common to all men, all women, all teenagers. I know some things that are fairly common. But I know there are a lot of things that Satan wants to whip us with, defeat us in our lives. Envy, anger, jealousy, hatred, immorality, sexual perversion, robbing from God. Just go on and think of anything that maybe the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart about. A poor self-image, doubting your salvation. That's of the devil, my friend. That's a stronghold he's trying to get in your life. Don't listen to him. You can win. Bring it to God. Believe it. Seeing it is going to come because you believe it, and God will help you overcome. Father, I pray that all of these precious saints, these dear Christian men and women and boys and girls, our young people, oh God, how I know you want to see us have victory over strongholds, and you want to see them have victory. And I pray that tonight we'd understand and realize that we can. There's no excuse. If we believe and trust you, turn it over to you, if we bring every thought into captivity and give it to you, if we pray, keep reading our Bibles, keep going to church, keep doing the right things, then we can overcome any stronghold, foothold, toehold, anything that Satan has in our life or wants to use. Give us that victory. I pray that if there's someone here tonight without Jesus who's never been born again, that tonight they would come trusting Christ, that they too might be able to have this victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.